Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant our serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
At the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the meeting off this morning, who do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, my name is Louise and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Louise.
I come from a very long line of alcoholics. I'll start with my dad, who grew up in the islands of Samoa. Very humble beginnings in Apia. He was one of 12, and they would go out into the bush to get either wild chickens or pigs to bring home for food. They would be out there for days, sleeping in the bush. No food, no water, no cover. If they came home without food, they would get a bloody good hiding, excuse me. So quite rough start for him and his siblings. Eventually, Dad immigrated to New Zealand in 1952. We were all New Zealand born. Eight of us children. I'm the youngest of eight. Dad suffered from chronic alcoholism. Domestic violence was huge in my family. Very strong Catholic foundation. Sundays, we'd go to church, pray for forgiveness, come home. After a lovely dinner, Dad would have a few too many, and he would either take it out on my mum or my siblings. So beaten up on a regular basis was a normal occurrence. So hence I grew up thinking it was okay to treat people badly. I later married, had a beautiful son, suffered from domestic violence as well. I drank to back out. I drank to run away, to hide. I couldn't deal with life. I couldn't deal with reality. I didn't know how to. I wasn't taught those skills. It was tough, and all I knew was to run away. So I ran back to New Zealand after 15 years of being away. And a mirror was put up in front of me. I had to face my fears. I had to face what was in front of me. I didn't want to deal with that at all. But I had to. I was working for the aviation industry. I still do. And they pulled me aside one day and said, "Louise, how can we help you?" That was huge. Someone putting their hand up and saying, "How can we help you?" Wasn't used to that. So thankfully I've been in recovery this year, 9 years, and I'm so grateful and thankful for this program. It's taught me how to grow up and behave like an adult instead of like a spoiled brat. Being accountable for my actions and being responsible for myself and my family. I lived in denial for a very long time, and I blamed everybody else. Working through the steps and the traditions, I travel for a living, so I'm very lucky to get around the world and be grounded at a meeting just like this. Anywhere in the world, I can walk through the door and be accepted and feel like I belong, because I never felt that. I felt left out a lot. I'd be in a room full of people and feel so alone. These meetings are my family. They have taught me to grow, nurture me, and help me to become the person I am today. So I'm so very grateful. I'm not actually perfect. My son pulled me up the other day saying that my choice of words were quite cutting. He's 18 years, or 19 this year, and my son telling me how to behave, that's incredible. That is a miracle, and that's what happens in this program. Lots of miracles happen. This is just one of them, and I'm actually ready to listen and open up my mind and say, well, he knows better than I do. Because I was a raving lunatic at 18, out of control. And here he is telling me how to behave. Amazing. When I was drinking, I was out there very lost, and I went to some dangerous places. I couldn't dream of my son going there, and he is totally the opposite to me, thank God. Listening to him telling me how to behave, that's amazing. If I was drinking, I would have given him a hiding or told him to be quiet and go away, you're making noise. Today I can just sit and listen and be and learn, wow, this is the way to live. Giving back to the community as well. I do a bit of service for work and my home group. I like to help others who still suffer, because this disease never goes away. It's an ongoing journey. There's no final destination. It's work in progress, so every day you're becoming the best version of you possible. And the only way to do that is by working the steps, keeping close to the AA group, and being honest, really. I lived a lot of lies and deceit in my drinking days, so today, from this day forward, I hope to continue to be safe and well and honest to myself and my family. They thank me daily for being in the program. My work, they get a lot more out of me today. I'm a bit more productive than I used to be. I remember what I was doing rather than being in blackout. So I don't know what else to say. I'm just a grateful member of AA, and thank you for letting me share, Steve.
Right. Thanks, Louise.
Thanks, Louise.
You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Ken, do you want to share?
Yes, thanks very much. I'm a grateful alcoholic and pleased that I can share today. I guess I would describe myself as barely functioning, dysfunctional functioning alcoholic, in a sense, that I never really knew who I was, or I never really got to know myself until I gave up drinking and came into the fellowship. And right now I've managed 10 months. I've been associated with AA for 2 years. I've had a couple of lapses along the way that actually just provided further evidence that this is a progressive disease, and I very quickly returned to AA. So in brief, my story is that I drank for almost 50 years, so I'm a slow learner. I came to the program late. I started at a young age, maybe 14 or 15. I came from a very supportive family, and not from an alcoholic background. Although many of my family members, certainly including my siblings, show signs of alcoholism or have difficulty with managing their drinking. I consider that I was emotionally unstable in my life, and I grew up really feeling uncomfortable with myself, experiencing a lot of depression and anxiety. And as a young person, when I first discovered alcohol, I felt much more comfortable, and that I could be there, and that I was more acceptable to my peers, and I felt at ease. The anxiety went away, so to speak. And so I took alcohol on board, and I took it, you know, through life with me. I knew this was powerful, in quotes, medicine that I would have to control. And so in the beginning, it was reasonably well controlled, drinking after band nights and things during the week or maybe on the weekend. But as I progressed through life and took on more responsibility, I worked hard and I drank hard. But I found increasingly that I had to lead a life of deception, because my drinking was very extensive, and I required a lot of access to alcohol, and increasingly got to the point where I needed alcohol in order to function, and yet I had to do all I could to make sure that nobody knew who I really was. So it was like living a double life, so to speak. On the one hand, I'm an upright professional person working in a university setting. And yet on another front, I had a secret, private life, that was fueled by alcohol and, for a period of time, a gambling addiction. And I guess all these things were sort of focused on easing the pain in terms of depression and anxiety. And so I sought help many times in my life, you know, from professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, and others, and never really got to understand who I was or who I was in relation to other people. So in a sense, I think that the greatest gift of AA for me has been in terms of the emotional sobriety. It was like my emotions were arrested, because ever since I was a youngster, I would take my medicine as an anesthetic, an emotional anesthetic. And so it was only when I came into the program and got clear of alcohol, which was a really big job, because while I didn't go to detox, I was a heavy daily drinker. And I guess the gift of desperation for me was that a little over 2 years ago, I had a major health episode that put me in the hospital, and I had to stay there for a period of time. And I guess that that became, in a sense, my detox and one of my commitments to myself that I'm working on. It took me a long time to achieve, and it's written on our tokens. It says, "To thine own self be true." And so that's the point that I'm at now. And I'm due to travel again to Canada. And I'm fortunate, as Louise shared, to be part of a global, worldwide spiritual community where I can go anywhere and find friends and comfort, you know, within the spiritual community. To me, the presence of my higher power is evident in AA and in our meetings, and so I gain much support and comfort and contact with my higher power. In terms of my daily program, I begin the day by reading my daily reflection. There's a book called Daily Reflections for Alcoholics in Recovery, and somehow it always just brings up the right point that I need, that every time I go to a meeting, everything that's shared somehow helps me to understand more about myself. And it's like an incredible learning journey, you know. For me, AA and the 12-step program is a program for living, and I never had that before. And I see it as a very positive program, and in a sense, I'm proud to be an alcoholic in recovery, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. The other gift for me later in life coming into AA was that I could never be there in the present moment. Now that might sound strange, but I was always worried about what I did before and what was going to happen in the future. And I was always worried about what people thought of me. And I would often say, if people really knew how little that I know, they would see that I'm a fraud. And so I was always busy trying to gain acceptance from others, and then feeling much anxiety about carrying on that role. I would run away and drink in my car, and I had supplies in the garage and the house, and everywhere that I could, I would, you know, and I know even in visiting overseas that if it was difficult for me to, because I'm with the family, to, you know, go in and get a supply of alcohol, sometimes I had to resort to, what's the term, breaking into the liquor cabinets of friends at night and, you know, getting some liquor into me and so on. So these are some of the crazy things that I did, but especially I was worried about blackouts. I recall one time driving home from a function and having had a fight of sorts with my partner, and I woke up on the couch and thought, my God, what am I doing here? How did I get home? And I went out and looked at the car and checked it to see if there was any sign of damage. Had no recollection of driving the car home. God only knows what I did, but I mean that these were signs that my life was manageable and that that I was out of control. I never intended it to be that way. I tried all my life to, you know, to control alcohol in every way I could. I had my, I called it the zone of containment, where I couldn't drink except from 4 to 8 p.m. in the evening. And so I had to contain the alcohol at that time. But eventually that even broke down. And then I needed to drink in the morning to get started, and drink in the morning before I had meetings, and drink if I was teaching online courses, and so on and so forth. So drinking was a really big part of my life. And the last thing I wanted to share is here I've been so pleased that you know, having nearly 2 years of sobriety, although my birthday's 10 months you know, since the last drink, that I thought I was over the craving, but just last week I had, you know, a number of things to come up that came up that I had to deal with that were stressful, and so I felt that stress that I felt, you know, previously in my life, and my first thought was, my God, I've got to do something. I can't live with this stress. I need a drink. And but anyway, fortunately now I have a sponsor. I've got a, you know, a home group. I'm surrounded by support, so I didn't need to revert to my alcoholism. I just, you know, was able to put it on the table and, you know, talk with my sponsor about it and be able to manage that, you know, process myself. And so things have settled down. But what scared me about it was that no matter how much time I have, it could still come up again. You know, if there's a critical incident or something major happens in life. And so it's great to be part of a spiritual community, to have the, you know, support to get through those tough times. Anyway, let me end by saying that for me, I like the expression that the past is history, the future's a mystery, but today is a gift, and that's why they call it the present. And I'm glad to be here in the present at last, enjoying my family and my friends and my life, and especially my spiritual life in AA. Well, thanks.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we have members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Shane. Do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Shane. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Really grateful to be here. I'm with a couple of people that I've never met before, and it's always great to hear a new story, someone's life. And it doesn't matter where you've come from, your age. The stories are the same. I relate to it, and you know, I found that from the moment that I walked into AA, but that was a long walk. I started my drinking when I was 14 years old. I still remember really clearly picking, you know, a friend of mine's brother went down to the liquor store and bought us a six-pack each. I don't think we got anywhere near halfway through those, and we blacked out. And when we came to, his auntie was in front of us screaming at us, you know, what have you done? Why did you do it? And making us promise that we'd never do it again. And I remember, you know, at the time thinking, yeah, all right, that didn't work out very well. We won't do that again. And I don't think another 2 or 3 days had gone by, and we were back. But we just didn't do it in front of anybody that cared. And I think that's probably a theme that went through the whole of my drinking, actually. And it just came to me now. You know, every time that somebody showed an interest in how much I was drinking or how I was drinking, I just moved away from them. And then whether that was family, whether that was friends, whether that was work, alcohol was my ruler. And so I've been sober for 4 years. I drank for 30 years, and just before that 30 years came up, I'd been to a couple of AA meetings, albeit drunk, and I was, you know, I was bawling my eyes out, and you know, my life was terrible, and you know, what was I going to do next? And there was another incident that happened a little while after that that involved the police, That I think was, looking back, was just kind of the catalyst for me doing something. And I managed to get myself into a rehab a few days later. And it was a funny experience, actually. It was the most fun that I'd had probably in the last 4 or 5 years for me, my drinking was all about isolation. I'd like, you know, sitting myself in a room from 9 o'clock in the morning through to when I knocked myself out. Sometimes that'd be 5 o'clock, sometimes that'd be 8, sometimes 9 o'clock at night, and then repeating that process over and over again. So to be in a group of people who, although the stories might have been slightly different, suffered from the same feelings inside. That was a relief for me. So I went through the rehab, and my counsellor, who I had a reasonable amount or a lot of respect for, he had six years clean and sober up, which was, you know, for me that was just amazing. I remember getting to the day before I left and him saying to me, me asking him questions about when my life was going to start again, so when I was going to get into a new relationship, when I was going to start working again, and he said, look, you know, let's just take this a day at a time. What I want you to do is, you know, when you leave here, try and do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I kind of, you know, I heard him. I thought that was pretty sound advice. I'd as I said, I respected him. But in the back of my head, I thought, you know, I'll do some of that, but I'll probably do most of whatever else that I like doing myself. And but when I got outside that rehab, I had to make a decision, really, because all my efforts previously to try and stop or curtail, I know what Ken said before, you know, having some restrictions around what time and for how long, and those had all gone out the window. And if I was honest with myself, which I, you know, that was a new concept to me, you know, it was impossible that I could leave that rehab, do things my own way, and stay sober. Those things just, they didn't work in the sequence with each other. So I went to my first meeting, and they had meetings in the rehab, so I knew the gist of how they went, and I felt at home, and I've felt for the last 4 years, I've felt like this is the place that I need to be, and this is the place that I want to be. And I got myself a sponsor, and again, there was no great willingness but I just knew that if I didn't do it, my fallback position was me running my life again, and you know, that hadn't worked out. So, and my sponsor said, you know, let's go through the steps. And you know, that's just been shared this morning, that it's just a better way of living your life. I mean, just before we got into this meeting, we were talking about honesty in your life. My life was just completely, I don't know what I couldn't tell you what the honest part of my life was, but I could tell you what the dishonest parts were, and it ran through. People used to come around, not many in the end, but they'd come around, just by accident sometimes, they'd have to drop something off, and I'd be, you know, maybe it'd be 10:30 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be drunk, and they'd say to me that, you know, everything okay? I'd come up with some feeble excuse, like I had to work night shift or something like that. That was because there wasn't really any other plausible reason for being, off your head at 10:30 in the morning. I've found for me, this has been my solution. This is the way that I've been able to stop the craziness in my head and to live a good, start to live a good life. And, you know, one of the things I write in my gratitude list in the morning is, you know, thanks for another chance at life, and this is what it feels like. So I'm really, really grateful. It's given me another start, and you know, hopefully I can, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to stay with it. So thanks very much for everyone being here.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we've had members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Now, if you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box is a list of all the meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country as well. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.
It works if you work at it. Yes.